Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys. We're back. What a weekend of Premier League results, and it's still not over. Alongside me this evening are my trusted panel of experts and blithering idiots.
Mr. Greg.
Mr. Kaufman.
And I'm back.
back again.
That's Jeremy, by the way. And of course, I'm Mr. Andy. You can call me Andy, though. All right, let's get right on to it. But before, you know what? We're not even going to get to the results right now. Last time we were on, that Sunday, we were talking about Swansea, the manager was going to get sacked, and they hadn't announced anyone to take the place. And of course, Monday morning rolls around, Bob Bradley gets announced as the position. I'm going to pass this over to our two Americans, obviously Jeremy. Forget what it means for Swansea to have Bob Bradley as the manager. What does this mean now for American soccer?
I mean, you got to take it serious now, I guess. You know, right. I mean, it's first American coach in the Premier League in the history, and after he was with the U.S., I mean, for me, he kind of did about the same thing Jurgen Klinsmann did. Some people will say no.
Right.
Much different. But if his name wasn't Bob Bradley, in my opinion, he'd still be around.
Right. I mean, I read an article about it, and was saying how people over there are still annoyed that Ryan Giggs didn't get it. You know, like, I think there is this kind of negative image of American soccer because of the fact that it's not as big as, say, football over here, that, you know, like, they're like a laughing stock. And I think, I really hope that Bob Bradley's anointment to this position actually, you know.
I heard Giggs turned the opportunity down.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that.
There's a lot of factors that go into appointing a manager. You have your kind of hot list of three people, you approach them all.
Right.
There's a pack. Look, every club has a package that they can offer a manager.
How does this process work then? So,
well, what I'm saying is so they put a list together. It's usually three people.
Right.
They have a package that they can maybe waiver a little bit on.
Right.
I'm obviously talking payment, money,
right.
Salary. And look, I think that someone like Giggs would probably, and look, he's not a proven manager by any stretch. He did four games for Man United. He's been right hand man to Louis van Gaal and all that, and that's
so he's
that's
learning.
Why. He's learning, but I would imagine that Giggsy would probably demand a higher salary than a Bob Bradley. I just think that's to be expected. So, look. Bob Bradley was obviously on the list. He was available. I'm sure his agents and that put his name in the hat. I think it's a great appointment for both sides, both for the Premier League, both for U.S. fans.
Right. Do you think that was a part of the factor that, you know, Premier League is now being shown over here, that maybe if we get an
American coach, that's
going to bring more fans
look,
in?
Look, the truth of the matter is that it's great business for Swansea.
Right.
Because you have a lot of people over here that maybe don't lean towards a particular Premier League club.
And now they have
an affiliation, they have an alliance now with, I think, a very good manager. I like his approach. I like everything he's said so far. You know, tough, isn't it? Your first game being right. Well, they showed a bit of fight, and they haven't shown that this season, really. They showed something, and that's always the case when a new manager comes in. Look,
they do need a time
first
to kind
thing
of
a
adjust.
New, yeah, well, the first thing a new manager says to players, he has no loyalty to any of them. He hasn't bought a single one of them.
Right.
He hasn't, you know, broke Swansea Bank to buy a.
And they don't have a loyalty to him yet. You know, that needs to grow.
Well, they do. They have a loyalty to the club. They're the one that pays their wages. And at the end of the day, the manager picks the team.
Okay.
So what happens is, on that first training session, everybody goes that extra mile. Everybody pushes themselves extra because he doesn't care what the last start in 11 was. Because at the end of the day, the last start in 11 is what got the previous manager sacked.
Right.
So it has no.
So he's looking for those weakest links that he can.
He's looking for the people that stand up and in training Probably, I think he got there on the Wednesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He's looking for the people that are saying, hey, I'm excited there's a new manager. I'm liking everything I'm hearing. And they bring that to the training field. And that's the players he has to pick. And I think he did that. He did make a few little adjustments and stuff that I really liked. And they showed some fight. They didn't win, but they showed some fight. Right. And it was good thing. And I think only more confidence can come from Swansea with the appointment. But like I said, it's great business for them because, like I said, you're going to have more US fans buying Swansea shirts and right. stuff. Kind of, you know, this small little club, relatively small club, yeah. let's be honest, in Wales, kind of be put on the map over here. So, I mean, it's great.
Here's a question. I don't know if you can answer this, but how come this team in Wales is in the Premier League? How does that work? How did they get accepted into the Premier League? Have they always been there?
No, they've always been in the Football League, right?
Okay.
So they're in the Football League, and it's not necessarily the...
English.
Yeah, I mean, we do adopt... Wales is the only country that we do adopt as being... Because Cardiff are in the Football League, right. Swansea were in the Football League, and both Cardiff and Swansea have been in the Premier League, and obviously right. Swansea have been able to sustain their position in it, so... I mean, that's it's nothing really big. Can you imagine a Welsh league? It would just basically be Swansea, Cardiff, and then Aberystwyth, Abergavenny, all the way down the list. I mean, it would just be ridiculous.
Which I will say with the Bob Bradley hiring, you've got an American manager in there. My hope is that you get more looks for some of the American players that are
right,
coming through.
Right, right. Because here's the thing. We've had American players in... certain teams, like Clint Dempsey, came over and played. So you had the players, but now you've got, like...
You've got a manager that knows those players.
It's all tactical. He's bringing the American tactical, the American kind of mentality.
How long till Mike... Does Michael sign in the January transfer window?
With all the, like, hoopla and stuff you'd hear about, Bradley was, you know, only playing for the U.S. because his dad was the coach. I don't think he could bring him over personally, but... Never say never.
Cheeky 10 spot on that bet, please. Michael Bradley to be a Swansea player.
If you'd like to put a cheeky 10 spot.
By January the 31st.
Be captain after right. the summer.
Don't forget. Yeah.
Well, I think he got a lot of criticism for that early on for playing his son, but
right.
it's turned out Michael? To be that Michael Bradley's one of the better players that we have in America.
Well, all that's a testament to is that Bob Bradley can spot potential. Because right. at the start, Michael wasn't all that, but yeah. he had some potential, got a great work ethic, great professional. Yeah. And if that's what this manager brings to that team, I think that's just yeah. quality and positive all over the board. So
don't forget, guys, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can give us a ring if you've got an opinion on this. Are you excited that there's an American manager now in the Premier League? Give us a ring on 4342 849 470. You can also contact us on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. There's an email button at the top. You can get us through there. Or if you want to hit us more directly in email, blokesonthebench, all one word, no capitals, @hotmail.com. Now, are there any American players that have the potential to come over to the Premier League? Any names out there? I mean, forget the Michael.
It's not Bradley, Premier League, but I actually caught some of the Dortmund games.
Right,
this week.
And there is an American
Christian
player.
Pulisic.
Pulisic, like, he looked great in the first half. Second half, he kind of died down. But the kid's 18, right. and he's playing for the Premier Division in Germany.
Bundesliga! So you think that maybe he could catch
that? I see him. You've got Yedlin. Who was he?
Still at Sunderland.
Sunderland.
Johansson. I think all Johansson right. actually plays in
Swedish league, I think.
Swedish
I think
league.
It's actually the Dutch league.
All right. Well, you got anything more to say to this, Ryan? Or you're kind of looking at me with those
moving on.
Eyes. All right. Let's get right into it. Okay. So, Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace versus West Ham. Saturday morning. What are we thinking?
RDM.
Saturday afternoon. But, yeah, I mean, this was a real strange one for me because West Ham have been shocking this year, let's
right.
be honest.
Yeah. But they're kind of yo-yoing about.
You know what? I gave Pardew a hard time at the start of the year, first few games. I think they were unbeaten in the last five. So they had so much momentum going into this game. And, you know, West Ham, Lanzini goal. And, you know, I think they had somebody sent off, didn't they?
Cresswell.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Cresswell. Oh, yeah, 75th minute, yeah. So, I mean, you know, good on them. 3 points for West Ham. Give their fans something to cheer about, because I think last time we were on, last couple of times actually we did the show, we were talking about how there was some like kind of unsavory moments after games that they were losing, but it was nice to see.
Is there something about West Ham fans, though? Not having to dig, but do you remember the Manchester United game when
back in the day, they had a firm that was not to be messed with. And,
the money hammers.
You know, they're not all dead, so I'm sure they're
maybe
out
the
there.
Hammers are hammered.
No, it was great to see him. Good to see him get 3 points and actually kind of kickstart. Because I like Slaven Bilic as a manager. I don't think the players have really been giving him a lot this year. But good result. A little disappointed in Crystal Palace. I really thought they'd kind of turned a corner a little bit.
Well, you know, it could just be a speed bump.
Yeah, I mean, time will tell. We'll see you next week.
Anyone else want to chime in on that before we get on to a really high-scoring game? Yeah. Vitality Stadium, Bournemouth versus Hull City.
Yeah.
6-1. And there's, like, me defending Hull City. Obviously, we played them. You know, like, and we struggled against them defensively, and then Bournemouth come along and smash six past them.
I'm a gambling man. Just spent a week in Vegas. I'm back,
right?
And I would have literally put my house on Bournemouth never scoring six goals in a Premier League game. And I like Bournemouth. I like them a lot.
Cherries.
But this was an absolute
barn burner,
dominating performance. Mm. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I mean. The goals were really good as well, really well worked.
Charlie Hull Daniels.
City, and let's talk about, look, Hull City this week obviously came out and Mike Phelan is now officially the manager of the club. You'd have thought to have seen a little bit more from Hull. But yeah, I mean, Bournemouth has laid down a bit of a statement here at home. Come play us. We just bashed six in against
Hull. Charlie Daniels scored. And I like the name Charlie Daniels. I just like the name. It sounds like a wizard.
You're thinking of Paul Daniels, the popular English magician.
Hello, I'm Charlie Daniels. I'm a wizard.
Yeah.
Charlie Daniels is the redneck country singer.
But look, it was good to see Gosling get on the score sheet.
Right.
You know, coming back, he's had some injury problems. The only thing you can say for Hull is their record signing, Mason, who they bought from Spurs. got on the score sheet, real scrappy goal, massive deflection, nothing to write home about. But, you know, yeah, Hull aren't taking anything from that game. Let's be honest, it was poor from them. But great for Bournemouth and fair play, Eddie Howe, my pick for permanent England manager. But it looks like Southgate, I can't take a penalty, is going to get it. So
hey, that was
apparently there's word that Eddie Howe might be in line to succeed Arsene Wenger at Arsenal.
Pretty sure we say that every week.
Right.
until Big Arsene takes a step back. But Eddie Howe, I think, just great young English manager. I think...
How many divisions did he take them through to get to the Premier League?
All of them.
That's incredible. We need a show just dedicated to him.
To Eddie Howe. Yeah. Eddie Howe appreciation.
I'm
going to
laugh when Arsene Wenger becomes the England national team manager and Ryan has to live with it.
Yeah, he won't. He's not going to be.
I'll start supporting like Trinidad and Tobago, something like that.
Yeah.
Dwight York represent. So, yeah, I mean,
Germany.
Look, if you're going to touch on England a little bit, and after the performance I saw against Slovenia the other night, there's not a manager in the world. Yeah, there's not a philosophy out there that can change the approach of these players. The only good thing that I saw in that whole game was Jesse Lingard back up Marcus Rashford after some. Slovenian had grabbed him by the throat. Like, yeah, I'm going to protect
the players?
My boys.
Is it the way we're playing? Are we
just shocking? Shocking.
What needs to happen then?
Wage cut for a start. Simple as that.
Mm.
If you lose or you don't get a result, yeah, when everyone leaves Wembley Stadium or whoever you're playing, those 11 players who ever made it on the pitch get out a broom and start sweeping the stands. That's what I'd do.
Because you were saying this a while back, the players, especially when they come through the academies, when they're young, they're not like sweeping the locker rooms. They're not taking...
They're not apprentices anymore.
Right.
There's no such thing as a professional apprentice in football.
It's all about the money and it's all about...
You got 16-year-old kids signing £25,000 a week contracts.
Who was it you mentioned?
I don't mean to rib on Arsenal, but it's a classic example. Jack Wilshere, 16 years old, plays three games. that massive saw you heard there, resident gooner. But yeah, and then
Gooners say die.
Lee now plays for Eddie Howe.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, but Lee Dixon even came out and said that he knew that times were changing and that his time in the game was ended when this 16-year-old kid who's played three first team appearances walks in the locker room and says, "This is my club now," to people like Lee Dixon. I think Martin Keown was still there. Players like that. I mean, that's it. And that's the thing. And now that's an English midfielder who has never fulfilled his potential. I think that speaks volumes for kind of the point I'm trying to make.
Well, I was going to say, it kind of comes full circle now. You got, a guy in his late 20s going out on loan? Like, isn't that...
Exactly. He's not in his late 20s.
No, he's 25.
That's late 20s in soccer age. He's on the second half of the climb.
But, I mean, do you think that if it wasn't for the cash, that maybe this player could have actually done a lot better?
The cash has destroyed English football players.
Well, it's just like it is, though, here in the States with the sports. It's big business. There's so much money into it. The guys who are playing and making the money, you can't not pay them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
But look, I think... Take away 66 World Cup winning team for England, yeah? I think the best I've seen us play was at Euro 96 in England. We had a fantastic team. But you have players out there like Gareth Southgate, Stuart Pearce, like your Gary Neville's, your Nigel Winterburns. At the time, these guys aren't making 100 grand a week.
No,
nowhere right. near. I would literally eat my hat if Stuart Pearce was making over 25,000 a week.
Right.
I would. And those are your guys that bring you the passion. You only have to watch the highlights. I've never seen an England player score a goal, score a penalty, whatever it is, and grab the badge and just go absolutely ballistic.
We can talk about this when we get back. Guys, it's 6:20. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. Still debating, obviously, the England game. All right, so let's move back on. Arsenal versus Swansea. We did talk a little bit about the Swansea game, but let's hit it back. Obviously, Mark, we'll pass it over to you.
Go on, Guna. Tell us about those two wonderful Theo strikes.
It was nervy. We went up 2-0.
Chuckling in the corner.
And Sigurdsson... brought it back with the Xhaka mistake. That would be the first mistake Xhaka made in the game. Later, we went up 3-1 with a beautiful, beautiful ball from Alexis Sanchez to a volley to the birthday boy Mesut Ozil. Went 3-1. The second goal they scored, pretty naive as far as the two central defenders went. Neither one of them went with the striker and kind of looked at each other after the goal as to who was to blame. Xhaka got a straight red card on a counterattack in the 70th minute, which was somewhat questionable, but I guess according to the new rules, it's a red card. So,
well, let's talk about that.
Basically, the last 20 minutes, we had to hold on a man down. Theo Walcott could have easily had a hat trick or four goals, but missed two chances towards the end of the game to seal the deal for sure.
But the only thing I'd say about the Arsenal game is, and I kind of say it every week, but not convincing, but the boys brought home 3 points.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. That's really all that matters, really. And my fear is that for the next kind of 20 weeks, I'm going to go, "Oh, Arsenal and convince him," but they're going to be up there like they are every year. So, I mean, yeah, it wasn't kind of. Look, I think a lot of it comes from Swansea gave a little bit more this week with obviously Bob Bradley appointment.
Well, our games are always tight with them.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's to me on paper. Look, recent kind of stats and stuff. This should have been a 4-1, 4-0 mauling. Yeah, the fact it's 3-2 says that Arsenal are still developing, still on track, doing what they're doing this year. But Swansea showed a bit of fight and a bit of resilience and definitely put themselves about. They had a massive chance in the last minute. I can't remember who that header was from point blank range, but it should have been 3-3.
They had a couple headers, actually, towards the end of the game that could have leveled the game up.
Oh, it wasn't a header. It fouled to a defender, I think, who tried to hit it on the half volley and skewed it wide from literally 3 yards. But, yeah, look, again, not majorly convincing, but 3 points. Fair play to you. You're higher in the table than we are, so...
Right.
You know, that's what Arsenal do. Like, if they... Look, if Arsenal are digging out 3 points in sticky patches, which I feel like they're in a little bit of a sticky patch, where, like, the consistency isn't quite there for 90 minutes, what are they going to be like when it is there, when they are firing on all cylinders? Right. I mean, it's kind of frightening to think about, but... Look, your key players are getting massive confidence. Theo Walcott, you needed him to have a couple of goals. They weren't spectacular, but you got to be in it to win it, and you got to be in there to tuck them away, and he did that. Ozil goal, great pass, great volley. Can't take anything away from that. But, yeah, so Arsenal, definite real deal this year.
See, I think Arsenal and, like, Liverpool are kind of...
You weren't expecting that, were you, mate? No, yeah.
I was not expecting that.
We're impartial here. We're impartial. I think, yeah, Arsenal and Liverpool are kind of in that same boat where they can.
We'll find out tomorrow night, won't we?
Oh, well, we will.
I mean, that's it. I mean, they're saying similar teams this year. I know what you're saying. Similar teams.
It just depends on what team shows up.
Right, exactly.
It's a consistency factor.
All right, we must leave your beloved Arsenal and move on to the next game.
Congrats, Arsenal.
At the Etihad Stadium, Man City versus Everton.
Such a weird game. This was such a weird game.
I actually saw it posted as after the game, a one draw, a one all draw thrashing.
Yeah, and I was like, it was. What? It was a mauling. Yeah. But at the end of the day, the aim of the game is to stick the ball in the back of the net. And look, this was actually like really similar to a couple of weeks ago, the week before the international break, United versus Stoke, where United. It was the best performance I've seen United play. We only stick the ball in the net once.
Right.
And Stoke score with pretty much their only... I think they may have had 3 opportunities, and they scored 1. This was pretty much the same, where you've got... I mean, if Phil Jagielka is not buying Stekelenburg dinner for the next week, I'm going to be shocked. Give him his wages might be the way to go. Because Phil Jagielka's given away... Who's a top defender, by the way. Gave away both penalties... First half, De Bruyne steps up, back from injury, probably the best player of the season so far. Had a bit of a shocker yesterday. Misses the penalty. Great save from Stekelenburg. And then you've got Romelu Lukaku scoring.
Doing what Lukaku does.
Yeah, and it was actually really good work from Cleverley in the middle. Kind of a 50-50 with Fernandinho. And nicks it through to Rom, and Rom's like one-on-one with, I think, Gael Clichy, and just absolutely leaves him for dust and just slots it past Bravo, which is really funny because a couple of weeks ago Pep was saying if he had 11 Fernandinhos, he'd win every single game he plays, so check yourself, Pep. and then it was Jags again, brings down Aguero steps up, Stekelenburg tips it around the post again, so...
Aguero's penalty ratio right now is not looking good.
Yeah, he's missed a few. He missed 2 in a Champions League game.
But I think he scored a hat-trick.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, okay. But, yeah, Stekelenburg was absolute on fire. And the save he did from De Bruyne where he tips it onto the post, yeah.
Like,
David De Gea-esque. Really? Throw that out there.
Looking at stats for the match, it was 19 shots to 3.
Yeah.
City had 73% possession and came away with 1 goal. That's insane.
Yeah. And the only team that's taken all the positives from that game, it's 1-1, is Everton.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. But to know that they can play counter-attacking football on a minimal basis, you call it counter-attacking football, it's on an absolute minimal basis.
Skeleton,
they've had 3 chances, and I guarantee all 3 of them were kind of on the counter-attack. They've put 1 of them away. And they've defended like you wouldn't believe. Goalkeeper was heroic. The defense was really good. Even Jags played really well, despite giving away 2 penalties. I think the addition of Ashley Williams is phenomenal. And a lot of people question the price tag on a 32-year-old defender. The guy's absolutely proven for like the last 5 years. So,
yeah.
Everton are in good shape, and they're up there. And you know what? These are the games. Like, Everton going to Man City, shouldn't really expect anything. If they
they've
lost
got the
1-0,
confidence now to go, okay.
Yeah, we can play with the big boys. And right. we've, you know, it, and it was really good to see it was kind of a Koeman versus Pep Guardiola. Like, you know, they used right. to play together, kind of work together and stuff back in the day. So, yeah, it, right. was, it was good.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can get in contact with us, whatever team you support. You want to leave us a comment, a question, 434-284-9470. You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench, and there's an email button at the top of that if you want to email there. Or if you want to email us directly, it's blokesonthebench, all one word, no capitals, at hotmail.com. All right, so we're at the Bet365 Stadium, Stoke versus Sunderland. I mean, Stoke. These are two teams that I get... They're so similar, not just in position in the table, but...
Oh, no, I mean, Stoke, I mean, is a good win. They were always going to win. Sunderland are atrocious, absolutely atrocious. How David Moyes is still has a job, I'll never know. I mean, it's just pathetic.
So what's this doing to him as a manager?
Tormenting him.
People, whatever business you're in, whatever career you have little ruts in your career, right?
Right, of course.
And it's how you pull yourself. This is this. Everything I see on the football pitch from Sunderland and from him on the sideline is like sheer desperation. Sheer desperation. I mean, it's shocking. And, you know, the complete opposite happened at Sunderland than what it has. We've only seen one game at Swansea with a new manager, the appointment. You work extra hard to thing. It's, nobody takes ownership. We say it every week, and we will continue to say it for the first 10 games because they won't win in the first 10 games every year. Never, no chance. Nobody on the pitch has taken ownership, and there's so much experience out there. I know Jermaine Defoe came out last week and said, you know, he's doing everything he can, but when you have players behind you who just aren't up to par, are not Premier League standard, and don't care, it's impossible to play the game that he loves. And that's the way it is. But a massive, great result for Stoke. Good for Joe Allen. I think that's 4 goals for him this season. He's not really renowned for his goal scoring, but nicked in there with the first one, kind of a scrappy goal. But the second one was a great strike.
Right.
And I know, I think Mark said he got one for Wales in the international break as well. So, and obviously he scored against United, which was a scrappy tap-in, but you got to be there to stick it in. So fair play to Joe Allen. It looks, you know, it's looking like a positive move from Liverpool to Stoke. So good on them. Fair play. They deserved it.
You going to say something, Jeremy, there? Or?
Nah, you're good.
You're good.
He covered it.
Giggling in the corner. All right, here at the Hawthorns, West Ham versus Spurs.
West Brom.
Oh, West Brom. I've actually squiggled through a pen here, and it looks like West Ham, but it is West Brom. You're right. I thought they can't play twice.
This was a really strange... I kind of saw this coming. I didn't think it would take till the 82nd minute, but I knew Chadley would score against them. Having, like, you know, signed for West Brom from Tottenham, and he's been doing really well for West Brom.
It's always nice to get one up on the team.
He managed to bang one in the 82nd minute. And then, obviously, Dele Alli was pretty much, like, 89th, 90th minute. Snags an equaliser. So I think both teams will be a little disappointed, mainly because, look, it's not every day that you score in the 82nd minute at home and end up not getting the 3 points. Score the first goal in the 82nd minute and not get the 3 points. But Spurs, for what they did, you know, they just beat Man City, just absolutely schooled Man City, a couple of weeks before.
And then struggle against.
And really struggling against. But that's the Premier League. That's why we love it. That's the nature
of it. Well, it was an away game.
Yeah, absolutely. But are you telling me that you'd have, if I gave you 100K, you wouldn't have put it on Spurs to win?
You're right. But I still don't like Spurs.
Job done. Case closed. On to the next one.
You're right.
All right.
I just thought it was funny Chadley scored since they won, you know. Sold him.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It was kind of, the script was written. I thought it was, Dele Alli spoiled the party.
Here we go. Another result at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea versus Leicester City. Costa getting on the score again.
Yeah, 3-0.
Azar,
leading goal scorer.
What do you think of Moses, by the way?
I thought he
I think
great.
He's a great super sub, but he doesn't do the same things when he starts.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree.
And the monster man from Leicester City half scored with.
He's definitely an impact player, only Victor Moses. Right. You know, when he comes on, and look, I think the thing with Victor Moses is when he comes on in, like, say, the 60th minute and he's got half an hour, he's just going to go gung-ho. He's got so much pace, so much power. He just knows, okay, I've got 30 minutes. I can empty the tank in 30 minutes.
Right.
He doesn't pace. He doesn't, like, pace out his energy when he starts.
Do you think
he can do that the whole time, and he disappears for like 30 minutes of the game?
Do you think they're maybe bringing him on, say, in the 60th minute and letting him play the last bit?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Piece? Yeah. He's an impact player.
Right.
You bring him on, he's an impact player.
It's a lot like Chicharito was for us under Ferguson.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But yeah, Costa got on the score sheet. Hazard, really strange goal. If you haven't seen the Hazard goal, go on YouTube, watch it. It bounces off about three people's heads and just falls to his feet. But he has a great touch around Schmeichel and then he just lashes it in the back of the net. But I know you boys want to talk about the Moses goal and the cheeky back heel.
The back heel. You know, Moses, he's coming down the wing, plays it in. A man just like scoops it around the back.
It's the new kid, right? The new kid. I can't think what his name is now.
23.
I can't pronounce it. I'm not going to butcher it.
I can't remember what his name is, but great little flick.
Intern, you pull that up for us?
Batshuayi, our intern has just informed us that it is Batshuayi.
Always can rely on a 15-year-old. Cheers, mate.
And not only am I back in the studio today, but we got our intern back.
Intern's back. Where's my coffee?
Huh? There's a Keurig machine out there. Come on. Off you go. All right, well, then let's move on to the next one. Riverside Stadium, Middlesbrough versus Watford.
And, it was a really niggly... I watched this game this morning. I was woken up when I didn't want to be woken up this morning. But I watched this game. Really niggly, really kind of stupid fouls going on everywhere. Wasn't the best standard of football, but the goal was top draw.
Right.
Halabas. Straight out the top drawer. Fantastic strike.
Right.
Probably should have been a penalty in the build-up, to be honest. But I'm sure he's glad it wasn't. Absolutely pinged a left footer into the top corner past Victor Valdez. Middlesbrough had their chances, though, and they had a couple of shouts at penalties, which, to be honest, I don't think either of the two were. Negredo had a couple of good chances. They just don't have the quality in the final third to find that killer pass.
Right.
To be honest, I think Middlesbrough will struggle now. I think at the start of the season, I thought they'd be all right. But from what I've seen now, when everything's kind of leveled out and like the excitement of being back in the Premier League is kind of...
Fizzled a bit.
Yeah, fizzled out, kind of curbed a little bit. I think they might be in some trouble.
What about Watford, though? Like...
Ground out a result away from home. Happy days.
Middlesbrough. What's happened for Troidini?
Look, Middlesbrough haven't won at home for 6 months. You have to include the summer break, right? But they haven't won at home for 6 months.
Wow.
And that statistic is never going to keep you in a league, ever.
Well, like Deeney was saying after the match that they really needed to find consistency because it hasn't been there.
Yeah. But, I mean, Watford were definitely the better team. Success out on the playing out on the right. he didn't have a great game. He slipped over about three times, which I couldn't believe he didn't change his boots after 20 minutes. But he got brought off. But you know, some of that they were really under par today, Watford. But look, still ground out a win. That's what it's all about. And they're traveling back from what is that? Teesside. Yeah, Middlesbrough, Teesside, down to Watford. Long journey. 3 points in the bag. Happy days.
All right, guys. Some words from our sponsors. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Welcome back. So the last game is Southampton versus Burnley. It does that. At St. Mary's Stadium. What are you doing?
I was just checking that you hit my button, mate.
I like hitting your buttons, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, mate. so, yeah, this is actually a pretty decent game. Southampton at home, obviously, running out 3-1 winners. Charlie Austin with a sensational strike from about half a foot, bundles it off the post and in. Again, Redmond scoring. I think it was 0-0 at halftime. I think all the goals came in the second half, which is, you know, kind of, I didn't expect it being 0-0 at halftime and then it ending the way it did. But nice to see Redmond get on the score sheet, good finish. And then obviously Charlie Austin with a penalty. Sam Vokes got a penalty in the 72nd minute to kind of, bit of a consolation goal. But I was kind of surprised that Sean Dyche's team didn't play a little bit better. You know, it's always the way a little bit with some of these middle teams where because they don't have any, I'm sure they have a couple of players that go on international duty, but it's not like a Liverpool, a Man City.
Well, half the squad's gone.
Over half the squad is gone for the week. So they kind of, you know, take a week off. Like, you know, they've earned a bit of a week off. And a lot of managers think, I'm not going to do any training. Take a week off, enjoy it, and we'll come back fresh and things like that. But yeah, it wasn't a great performance from Burnley. But fair play, Southampton. Charlie Austin, plenty of confidence, 2 goals. Job done, isn't it?
What were you saying about Charlie Austin, Jeremy?
He's just a man's man, you know? I could picture him on like the brawny paper towels roll or something.
I'll look into seeing if they do a Southampton calendar for 2017. Charlie. Get you that for Christmas.
Charlie.
And we'll get a Watford one for Andy.
Yeah, Troy Deeney calendar. Yeah,
he went. Somebody told me he went to prison and came out. And
yeah, he did. Yeah,
but here's the thing with the competitiveness of it, where if you're not like 14 and amazing and showing talent, that you don't make it. How does somebody go to prison, come out, and then make it into the?
It's called a weight room at prison. That's all he did all the time.
Really?
Just lift weights. That's why he's jacked like an absolute animal. Yeah.
Yeah.
But. It wasn't in there for long. Did his time. Came back.
He actually is helping some of the people he met in there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a good attitude about it. He knows he was a bad boy and, you know, he's doing the business. Fair play to him. Troy Deeney.
All right, so we have one more game. The barn burner, I guess. Liverpool versus Manchester United at Anfield tomorrow. 3 p.m. kickoff, I believe.
Predictions.
Ryan, I already said it. I already said it's going to be 3-0. I just don't know who it's going to be to.
Right. The only thing I do know is if Liverpool win tomorrow, they're top of the league.
What's the goal difference, though, between them and Man City? Do you know that?
I believe Liverpool are sitting on 16 and Manchester are on 19.
Yeah, that's points, but I mean, like...
I'm not 100% sure.
So they're going to be joint top, goal difference is going to thing, but United are going to win. United 3-0, Pogba with 2... And I'm going to go with...
Either Rashford or like...
I'm going to go Jesse Lingard.
Jesse
Lingard with a sneaky goal.
Do the dab?
Yeah. Break the dab out.
What do you think, Jeremy?
I'm going to say 2-1. Manchester.
And we're going to go, obviously, to Mark. Mark's kind of got his finger over his mouth.
3-1 to the Liverpool.
Boo.
I'm going to say 3-1, Man U. This is Mark.
All right. Okay, well, let's run through what the league looks like now. Bearing in mind, guys, that the game tomorrow hasn't been played yet, all right? So this is kind of how it stands now. Man City are on top with 19 points. Arsenal on 19. Tottenham Hotspur is on 18. Liverpool on 16. As is Chelsea. They're on 16. Everton on 15. Manchester United 13. Southampton 12. And both Crystal Palace and Watford on 11 each.
With just you reading that there, like, I think it was literally 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, where we had, I think, Chelsea were in 8th. So look what 2 games can do.
Right.
2 games get you back in it. I mean, it's just... I'm loving it this year because they're so bunched up. And you got City dropping points. City have dropped 5 points in the past 2 games. Points. Everyone's saying they're going to walk it. They're going to walk. No, it's not going to happen.
Everton haven't been ahead of United since Moyes was there.
Yeah.
And I mean, when Moyes was in charge of us, he finally got them ahead of us.
All right.
Massive game for United tomorrow.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Huge.
Champions League fixtures for the next week, I guess.
All right.
Here we
so,
go.
Cesca Moscow.
On Tuesday, October 18th, we got Cesca Moscow against Monaco. Leverkusen versus Tottenham should be a good game. Group F, Sporting Lisbon versus Dortmund. And then Real Madrid versus Legia. Group G, we got Leicester City and Copenhagen. Club Brugge versus Porto. The last group of that day is going to be Dynamo Zagreb versus Sevilla. And then another good one is going to be Lyon versus Juve. All right. On Wednesday, Group A, my boys Arsenal are going to host Ludogorets from Bulgaria.
Oh, what's the score think? What do you think on the score on that? What are your predictions?
It's at home, so it should be a romping. I'm expecting at least a 3-0 or 4-0. Yeah. But Ludogorets did play PSG pretty tight, at least for about an hour.
Oh, I thought you were saying you thought Arsenal would lose.
No, Jeremy, that's not what I said.
That's what happens when you share a mic.
PSG and Basel is the other game in Group A. Group B is going to be Napoli and Besiktas. And then Dynamo Kiev and Benfica. Group C, we're going to see Celtic play Borussia Mönchengladbach. And probably the biggest game of the entire week is going to be Barcelona and Man City.
Barcelona, Man City. Like, if I think, I don't know, I can't even, I would love to, here's the thing. This is the only time I'll ever say it. I would quite like to see Man City.
Are you serious? Just,
I mean...
Oh, God, I hope Barcelona destroy City.
Really? But then it kind of proves something that...
Well, you like Madrid.
La Liga fans are going to go, well, you see, we play our top team, but your top team, and we trumped you, you know. I'm of the opinion that the Premier League is the best league.
Premier League champion. Before we argue this, there's one more fixture. Two more fixtures, actually. Rostov, Atletico, who smashed... Smash 7 this weekend in La Liga, and then Bayern PSV.
Mm. Eindhoven?
I think Cesca's going to go all the way this year.
When you're saying Cesca, are you talking about Cesc Fabregas?
Yeah, he thinks Fabregas and his...
talking about Cesc Fabregas, CSKA Moscow.
Cesc Fabregas, his five cousins and five brothers are going to absolutely just smash any league. They're called Cesca.
What were you going to say about the whole the Premier
And they're
league
sponsored by Fresca.
And they're the Besca.
Okay, Jeremy, like...
Mm-hmm. I've saying, got nothing.
You got nothing?
No.
All right.
I hope Barcelona absolutely smash City into the oblivion so everyone can understand that Pep Guardiola inherits good teams. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I got to say the same
thing.
I would
agree with that, yeah.
I mean, and like, you know, I do. I pull for Madrid because I love Ronaldo. He's a Man U boy. But Barcelona, there's no denying. I mean, Suarez, as much as you hate the guy, he's a fantastic footballer. The man has a nose for goal. Neymar, absolutely, actually love that guy. And then Messi, whether you're a Ronaldo guy, a Messi guy, like, we're witnessing two of the greatest players to ever play the game. And there's no denying. Messi comes back from, what, a month, two-month layoff, scores within 3 minutes. So I'd love to see him get a hat trick against City in the first five.
Okay, well, then I'm rooting for Arsenal to win, at least. Just sound the Premier League team to do well in the...
I like to see Mark smile. He's got a beautiful smile when he shows his teeth.
It's angelic, almost. All right, so that's the end of the Champions League result. Or, well, not results, the fixtures. Anyone got La Liga results for this week?
I think Barcelona, the big boys, put thumpings on some lower table teams.
You know what? We're not, you know, if you're going to be trying to find the results, we got the UVA games.
UVA actually is coming off a huge win. They beat number 2 Notre Dame this week here at home, 1-0. Klockner was packed. You know, you couldn't find a seat in the stands. The hills packed. Just great atmosphere. Boys pulled out a huge win. And, you know, the past few results, they've had a couple draws, but for the most part, they've won, I think, 3 of the last 5.
Go Cubs.
And the women, they actually lost their last match against Duke. But they've got NC State coming up, I think the 20th of this month. And then the men are home Tuesday against William & Mary. So
I should beat them.
You going to be there?
No, I'm just saying they should beat them.
Oh, I'm going to be there.
If they don't,
you're
going to
be there?
I'm going to be there. You guys should come.
Time? What time is it at?
7 p.m. Tuesday night. If I can be there or be square.
I'll try and make it.
Do not too.
All right. So, La Liga results. Did anyone? I have the paper sitting there for you to read.
I have it.
He has it.
He's just taking that moment.
He's just getting off his Mesut Ozil wallpaper.
Not that we need any silence on the middle of a live
Enzo
broadcast.
Ferrari. Have you all seen those pictures?
No. Can you read the results if you have?
Yeah. So Sevilla on Saturday beat Leganes 3-2.
La Genée.
Come on, intern. You're Spanish 3. Barcelona beat up Deportivo La Coruña 4-0. Atletico stomped Granada 7-1 with Carrasco having a pure hat trick, 3 goals in a row. And then the last major La Liga result would be Real Madrid versus Real Betis. Real Madrid putting 6 past Betis with Isco with a brace.
Who was that, Betsy?
Betty's.
No.
Oh, Betty.
That's Mark's last lover.
They put 6 past Betty.
You can't say that on the air.
What? Batista said? Don't worry about it.
All right.
What you got, mate? What's next?
All right, so let's do the fixtures, I guess, for next week.
Perfect.
Well, we're really not going to discuss tomorrow's match?
We already had. Where were you?
I'm saying into greater detail. We got...
Okay, all right. In greater detail. The pitch is going to be beautiful.
I'm sorry, not greater detail.
The three biggest matchups all over the park, ready? Going to be Henderson versus Pogba.
All right.
It's going to be Lovren versus Rashford. Maybe Lovren versus Ibra, let's be honest. And then it's going to be can Ander Herrera contain Coutinho? Playing in Herrera's newfound role that I said he should have been playing for about 3 years.
He does look good.
So that'll be that. Those Herrera, are the three massive kind
to
of...
To a Sturridge start.
Who cares? Honestly, if Coutinho's not on song and Henderson doesn't get the ball, Sturridge is a passenger. Absolute bystander. Those are the three biggest matchups for tomorrow. Guaranteed. Yeah,
but Herrera might be able to block, but like Coutinho takes those long shots.
Could you see
Herrera? But you understand. Herrera is basically, his job tomorrow is going to be Coutinho goes, be completely up his... Like, just be there. Take everything off him. Chop him, hack him, whatever you have to do. Massive game for Herrera tomorrow. Humongous game for Herrera tomorrow. And that's how the game's going to get won.
What about you, Jeremy?
I said 2-1 earlier. I would love to see Rooney come on, find his form, and hit the winner.
I would love to, too, but it's just not going to happen.
You probably got more chance of winning the Powerball by finding a ticket.
More chance of scoring against Liverpool tomorrow.
Nah, look, let's not have a go at Wazza. Look, he's Man United through and through.
Right.
I think you got to be really stupid. I know he's underperformed, but you got to be a massive, stupid idiot to write this guy off. You cannot write Wayne Rooney off because he's more than capable of actually coming on and turning that game on its head. And anybody, you know what? I'd love Liverpool and Liverpool fans to be clapping when he comes on with 20 minutes to go, thinking, oh, brilliant, we're going to win this now because they're bringing on the donk. Because, honestly, you cannot... Can't write him off. Don't write him off yet. And I've been a big kind of advocate of, oh, he's been poor. And he has been poor. He knows that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He doesn't need me to tell him. He knows it. but you don't get where you are. You don't win what you've won in this game by being average. Right. And he's certainly not average, but he needs to start stepping up. And tomorrow could be a massive, massive moment for Man United season for Wayne Rooney personally.
If you were to play him, where would you bring him on in like the last 20, or how would you
I'd bring him on in the last 20 minutes and I'd bung him up front, yeah.
Who would you take off?
I don't know what the starting lineup is yet, but probably
Ibra?
If they go Ibra, Rashford, Mata, or Ibra, Rashford, Martial, I'd probably take Martial off.
Okay.
depending on who's playing better between Rashford and Martial. Right.
But yeah, big game tomorrow.
Massive.
All right, let's get on with the fixtures for next weekend.
Yep.
AFC. Why am I reading AFC? It's Bournemouth. AFC Bournemouth. The Cherries at home with the Spurs.
Spurs 2-0.
Arsenal versus Middlesbrough.
Bournemouth.
Arsenal is probably going to be an absolute landslide, 4-0.
What do you think? Arsenal versus Middlesbrough?
Oh, we're going to smash Burrow.
I'm going to say Middlesbrough 3-1.
Oh, my God. Spanner in the
world. I'm going to make t-shirts and it's going to say Smashborough.
Okay.
How much we're going to beat them by.
Uh-huh. No one's going to buy them, mate.
Nobody's going to buy them.
Not even Arsenal fans.
You can't even give those away, mate.
Burnley versus Everton.
You know what? Everton played so well against City today, got right. 1-1. I still think it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
You think so?
Yeah. Everton are that kind of team.
I was going to say 2-0 Everton. Have them it's kind of find
shout.
Their way.
It's a good shout.
What about Hull versus Stoke?
I might actually go for a draw on this one, 2-2.
I see a draw. I'm thinking 0-0.
Leicester City versus Crystal Palace?
2-1, but I couldn't tell you who's going to win it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Leicester City.
Leicester has really... I mean, we said 7th at the beginning of the year. I think most of us kind of were in that ballpark. But yeah, they right. just look...
They'll be lucky to finish
pedestrian,
17th.
As you say. Yeah, I mean,
they
it's...
look good in Champions League, though.
Yeah, I told you, I said that. Champions
Ryan called
League,
it.
They're my dark horse in the
hey,
Champions
guys,
League.
Listen to what Ryan says, and there as soon as he calls out numbers, you play those in Powerball.
All right, so Swansea versus Watford. I mean, I'm really hoping for Swansea to pull a result.
I think a draw would be probably a good result for Watford. I'll go 1-1.
What about West Ham? Versus Sunderland.
I'll go Sunderland to score no goals and West Ham to score as many as they want.
Liverpool versus West Bromwich.
Liverpool 2-1.
All right, so then there are some games on Sunday. Next Sunday, Man City versus Southampton.
I actually fancy a draw on that. 1-1.
Me too.
Charlie Austin, innit, mate?
Or
Charlie Austin.
Innit, Jezza? Charlie Austin.
I actually quite like to see Southampton like beat him.
I'm going to say 2-1. Charlie Austin gets both.
Oh, he is definitely on the Charlie Austin bandwagon this week.
This is a barn burner.
A fine beard.
Chelsea versus Man United.
At Stamford Bridge. I'm actually going United to absolutely trounce them 4-0. You heard it here first, folks. Get your 5 schnot on that. 4-0, Man United.
I'm going to say 2-1.
To United?
To United.
Who scores for Chelsea, though? Costa?
Either Costa or Moses.
I'm going 4-0 Man United, 3-0 at halftime, and Chelsea not to hit the target until the 75th minute.
All right, guys, that's about it. We've wrapped up this week. All I have to say is thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Andy.
Ryan.
Mark.
And Jeremy.
We'll see you next time.
Later, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.